The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
There's times in life where you think, honestly, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to hold on for one more minute. That's when I want you to remember, you are being held. Whatever you're worrying about, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're hoping for but cannot see any hope on the horizon, the Spirit who knows the will of God is praying for you.
Next on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and today it's on my heart to do something a little bit different. You know, often I have the privilege of interviewing guests, talking about their new books, about what God's doing in their life. But today, when I was thinking about this particular show, I thought I wanted to give you an update on what the Lord has been doing in my life in the last 2 years. When COVID hit, it impacted all of our lives in different ways. For some people, it impacted the health of their families and their friends, and it was just devastating and scary. But when COVID hit, what I felt after the first few weeks, I mean, the first few weeks, honestly, I quite enjoyed the fact that I didn't have to wear makeup, I could stay in my pajamas, but I got disciplined. I had daytime pajamas and nighttime pajamas. And I would watch, you know, like reruns of the Great British Baking Show. But then something began to change. I found myself kind of spiraling again into quite a serious depression. And honestly, it surprised me because I thought, I mean, I was diagnosed in 1992. I spent a month, as many of you know, in a psychiatric hospital, and I learned so much. And I've been managing that pretty well. I still take my little pill with a prayer of thanksgiving every morning, knowing that this is something that God has provided for those of us who struggle in that particular area. And I know that back then when I was initially diagnosed and they wanted to prescribe medication, my first response was, I don't want your happy pills. And they said, no, Sheila, those are street drugs. We don't sell those. And explained that sometimes those of us who struggle with certain types of mental illness, our brains simply do not produce enough of the right chemicals to be able to function the way that God has made us to function. So over the years, you know, I've been doing really well. Take my little pill, spend time in the Word of God, learn the depths and importance of worship, of thanksgiving, try and get a little exercise, not as much as I should, but still a little, and try to eat fairly well. So when this fresh wave hit me, I felt honestly like a kind of a little bit of despair. And here's the thing that you probably won't read anywhere else, but I had started writing a new book. And I was writing a book on miracles. You know, what are miracles? What does God's word have to say about miracles? You know, what might be a miracle that we don't immediately recognize? And I'd got like 2 or 3 chapters into it. But as I began to find myself waking up every morning with this feeling of dread inside, I sat down one morning and I read what I wrote. And honestly, it didn't help me at all. And I thought, well, if this is not helping me, how can I hope and expect that it might help you? So what I began to do was I began to pray differently. Every single morning, even as I felt such a weight of heaviness on me, I would pray this prayer, Holy Spirit, please show me how to live in days like these, because I don't know. I know how to live when things were the way they were before, when I could come into the studio and we'd tape our shows and we'd have a studio audience, or I would go out on weekends and speak at conferences. And I don't think I realized how much I received just from being with other women in the body of Christ, just of worshiping together. So I began to ask the Lord, how do I live in days like these? One of my dearest friends, in fact, she was my spiritual mentor before she went home to be with Jesus, was Billy Graham's wife, Ruth. And sometimes when Billy would be off doing crusades, I would go to the house and spend time with Ruth. And we would sit on two chairs and just talk and talk and talk. Mostly, I would listen because she had so much wealth, so much wisdom inside of her. But I remember her telling me once, Sheila, when you are researching a subject, if you're writing on something, don't just read what's current. I mean, it's good to read what's current, but go as far back as you can in the history of God's children. Go back to what our, you know, forefathers and way in the first, second, third century, what those brothers and sisters learned on their journey. Because even though the circumstances might have been different, the lessons they learned would be the same. And then I found this one gentleman. His name is Athanasius. He lived in the 4th century. And one of the quotes that I wrote down in my journal was this. He said, whereas most of Scripture speaks to us, the Psalms speak for us. They give us a language of lament, a language of questioning, a language of rejoicing, a language for sadness. And so what I began to do was, Barry and I, we live in a three-story townhome, and in the middle floor, there's a little balcony. So I began going out every single day, and I would read three psalms out loud. I don't know what the neighbors think, but I read three psalms out loud because it's so good for our ears to hear what our eyes are reading. And I can't tell you the difference that has made in my life. So I don't know how 2020, 2021, I don't know how that has affected you personally or your family. But first of all, I want to commend to you reading the Psalms out loud. They're really a prayer book given to the people of God, no matter what circumstances they are going through. And so one night I decided I would go on to my Facebook page. My Facebook is Sheila Walsh Connects. And often I'll just hop on there and, you know, we'll talk something through together, or I'll ask people, you know, how they're doing. On this one particular night, when I was feeling a weight of heaviness and sadness, I just typed in, well, I guess I didn't type it in. I was Facebook Live. I said, how are you doing? Like right now, wherever you are, what's going on in your life? How are you doing? And I sat there for a long time reading all the responses. And honestly, it was overwhelming. People would tell me things like, I've never been so lonely in my life. I feel so cut off. I'm so afraid. You know, my family is struggling with COVID. One of the saddest ones was a woman who said, my husband is in hospital and I'm not allowed to go visit him. He's in ICU. I don't know if he's going to survive this. And I have to stand outside the window and hold up signs that the nurses can read to him. So I began to see we are all struggling in ways that perhaps we hadn't before. So I sat back down with my Bible, with a notebook, and with my laptop, and I began to write down everything that the Holy Spirit was teaching me. And so the book that I ended up writing was called Holding On When You Want to Let Go, Clinging to Hope When Life is Falling Apart. Let me just read you some of the chapter titles so you can see where I was going with this. Holding on when life feels out of control. Have you ever felt that way? And perhaps more in the last few months than ever. It's just like, what is going on, Lord? You know, do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening in my family? Do you see what's happening to my finances? Lord, is life out of control? And then holding on when you feel alone. I think that's one of the things that so many of us have experienced during this time, just being cut off initially, not even being able to go to church, having to stay away, having to self-isolate. And, you know, I think it's so interesting that if you go way back to the beginning of the Bible, to chapter 3 in Genesis, you have God has spoken through Christ this beautiful world into existence. And every single thing he creates, this is good, this is good, this is good. But the only thing that he said, this is not good, It's not good for man to be alone. Now think about this. This is before the fall. This is before anything has gone wrong. Adam is living in a perfect world. Everything is perfect with a constant companionship of God. And yet our Father looked at Adam and said, it's not good for you to be alone. And it's not good for you to be alone. So we look at that. Then holding on when God is silent. Have you ever gone through a time like that? When you're praying and and you think, Lord, you know, are you listening to me? I remember before I was hospitalized in 1992, not knowing what was going on, not understanding this weight of sadness that I felt every day, I actually took a little time off work and I fasted and prayed for 21 days. And this was my prayer. Lord, if there's anything in my life that's not pleasing to you, please show me. Is there anyone that I need to ask forgiveness of? Is there anything in my behavior that grieves you? Please show me. But at the end of 21 days, God did not condemn me, but God did not comfort me. I felt as if heaven was silent. So together we'll look at that, holding on when you're afraid. I think there's nothing worse than when something is happening to your family, to your husband, to your wife, to your children, or you literally don't know how you're going to face tomorrow. We'll look at that. And then one of my favorite chapters, holding on when you've messed up. Do you know that God is the God of the messer-upper? Jesus said, I didn't come for people who've got their act all together. I came for people who are lost. That's what we read when he's talking to Zacchaeus. But if you take that little Greek word there and you look at what it means ruined, broken, beyond repair. That's why Jesus came. So if you feel you have messed up, the good news for you is God is the God of the messer-upper. But then I wanted to shift a little, and I wanted to send a tidal wave of hope in your direction, held by the promises of God. Do you know there's over 6,000 promises in the Word of God? Over 6,000. And we also read, God is not man that he should lie. If God has promised something, you can stake your life on it. Then we have held by the God who rescues. That's what I discovered the night that I ended up in a psych hospital, that God had a rescue plan. He had one for me, and God has a rescue plan for you. It's who he is. He always does. He is the always God. And then held by the God of miracles. I take a fresh look at what miracles really are and how from literally the first book of the Bible all the way through to the revelation given to John, God is a God of miracles. Now, sometimes they don't happen in our timing. You know, we think we prayed for something and we don't see an answer. But do you remember in the book of Daniel, when he realizes the devastation that has happened in Jerusalem, when he is praying and 21 days later, an angel comes to him and said, Daniel, from the first minute you prayed, God heard and sent the answer, but there's been spiritual warfare going on and it took 21 days to get to you. So if you've been praying for a miracle, don't give up hope. God heard your prayer the first time you prayed it, and help is on the way. Then held by the one who changed everything. I think this was probably my favorite chapter to write because it's all about Jesus. It's all about the one who took our place, who faced shame and pain and punishment and torture simply because he loves you and he loves me so much. You know, I was reading something this morning that just kind of summarized the greatness of God. It was by A.W. Tozer. And he was giving this great comparison as the one who knows the worst there is to know about you is the one who loves you more than anyone. Isn't that amazing? That the God who knows the things you've never told another soul because you think, oh, if you knew this about me, you wouldn't like me. God knows everything about your story. He knows everything, and he loves you more than anyone else ever has or ever will. Remember, He's the God of the messer upper. And the final chapter is let go. You are being held. There's times in life where you think, honestly, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to hold on for one more minute. That's when I want you to remember you are being held. I love the fact that in the book of Romans, one of my favorite books in the Bible, in chapter 8, my favorite chapter, Paul reminds us that even in those times where we just cannot even squeeze out a prayer, things are so dark, so difficult, that the Holy Spirit prays for us. Have you thought about that in your days, right now even? Whatever you're worrying about, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're hoping for but cannot see any hope on the horizon, the Spirit who knows the will of God is praying for you in line with God's will. And then when I got to the end, I thought I was finished. I mean, honestly, I was about to send off to my publisher and something happened. I've had a missing piece in my life for almost all of my life. And it was something that I thought, you know what? I just don't think I'll ever get an answer to that. I think it's just one of those things that I'll have to leave with the Lord. And when I get to heaven, I'll understand. But before I hit send on the manuscript, God did a miracle for me. And that final little missing piece from that part of the puzzle of my life was put back into place, and I was able to add that at the end of the book. It was just been, it's been a journey for me. But what I want you to know is God is still writing your story. The pieces of your story are not lost. That God is a miracle worker. God is the God of the messer upper. He is in control. No matter what you read in the newspapers, no matter what you see on the evening news, no matter what is happening in our world, and let's be honest, things have been getting darker every day. But God is still on the throne. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your family. He has a plan for every single one of us who have put our faith in Him. And when you feel at your most fragile and most vulnerable, just remember, you are being held. And because of that, I want to ask you now to help some people who are literally holding on by a thread. There's some young girls in the world at the moment who think, I'm not going to survive this. I'm not going to make it. Nobody on this earth cares about me. But these prayers, these desperate prayers, have risen up to the throne of God. And now the Lord is going to allow you and me to be the answer to those cries. I want you to watch something. And then afterwards, I want to tell you that you can get a copy of my brand new book for any gift at all, which I hope will impact your life. But I'm going to ask you to do something that will impact the lives of so many people who are barely holding on, who want to let go. But God is going to send you and I to the rescue. In Jesus' name, please watch this.
How do you hold on when you want to let go? When you're at your darkest point, what keeps you moving to the light? I've met some young girls that are living in the dark. They're surrounded by evil, and the light must seem so dim to them. You see, these girls are victims of human trafficking. Their lives have been turned upside down by cruel, ruthless, money-hungry individuals who see these girls and boys as nothing but a commodity to be traded and sold. Most of these victims were tricked, lied to, or even kidnapped into brothels around the world. And now they're being held captive by chains, violent threats, and emotional abuse. What keeps these girls and boys holding on? What is the dim light in their darkness? It's hope. A hope that this torment will end someday. A hope that they can return to their families. A hope that they can get a safe, productive job to support themselves. A hope that God has a plan for their life. A I can't imagine having to hold on to such a dim possibility of hope. But we can help provide a bright hope that will light up their darkness. We can help save these girls and boys. We can rescue them out of their darkness and start the healing process so that they can see God's bright plan for their lives. But we have to do it now. They're waiting. Don't let their hope die.
I remember those young girls so well. Sweet little girls who should be getting ready for school or getting tucked up and put into bed with their mom or their dad reading them a bedtime story, just like you've done with your children and my husband and I have done with Christian. I think that's what struck me the first time, was how young these girls are. When I used to think of prostitution and red light districts around the world, for some reason I always thought of girls like late teenagers into their 20s, or that this was a choice. And I've discovered that both of those were wrong. So many of these young girls are literally 12, 13, 14, 15, and it was not their choice. If you wonder, well, how did they get into a situation like that? So many of these are vulnerable because they live in extreme, abject poverty. Sometimes there's only one parent present. If a parent gets sick, then they have to borrow money from a money lender who will up the ante all the time. The interest is ridiculous. And if nobody in the family who's older can work, these young girls go out onto the streets, and what they do is about 10, 11 at night, when so many of the bars throw out the cans that have been consumed during the evening, the little girls collect the cans and they can sell them. They don't get much for them, but it's something. It's enough to put food on the table for their siblings. But that's when, so often, they are snatched by these men who come by in motorbikes and literally pick the girls off the streets. And often they are drugged by either a meal or something to drink, something that they think is an act of kindness, perhaps, but it turns into the opening door into a life of hell, where these little ones wake up and discover their life has changed forever. From that very first trip to Southeast Asia, I made a commitment before the Lord that I would keep telling their stories. And so during this rescue lifetime, we have a $320,000 matching gift from friends, maybe some of you watching right now, who care for this ministry. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But what they've made possible is that it used to take about $128 to begin that process of reaching into the villages where the children are, warning them, rescuing those who've already been trafficked, restoring them to a life where they know that they are loved by God, given a future. Used to take about $128. Now with this matching gift, if you're able to give $64, that will be matched, and one girl, one precious girl, will be grabbed from the pits of hell and given a life. So please, will you go to your phone right now? Will you give the very best gift you can for any gift at all? I'll be happy to send my book to you. But let's do it in Jesus' name. Let's do it now.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to educate children at risk of being trafficked, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives, giving them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking, and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you Sheila Walsh's brand new book, Holding On When You Want to Let Go, a lifeline of hope for those who feel their life is falling apart. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll receive the Beauty Out of Ashes puzzle set, featuring an image taken by our team while on a trip to the mission field. This 500-piece puzzle forms a beautiful portrait of hope in the midst of despair. Included is a 24-piece puzzle for your children and grandchildren. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help rescue 20 children and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You know, one of our goals at Life Outreach is to prevent human trafficking, to rescue girls that are caught in human trafficking, and of course, restore those that are rescued back to a normal life as much as we can. This border crossing here is somewhat of a mixture of the first two, because these girls have literally been caught into trafficking. They haven't had to go across the border yet and disappear. They're being intercepted on this side of the border, so they're being prevented from having a disastrous future. If you can imagine, it's almost like they're gonna fall off a cliff, and they haven't fallen yet, but our mission partners are able to catch them just before they fall off that cliff, and they're able to bring them to safety and bring them to a life of nurturing, a life that gives them a hope and a future. So this type of mixture of prevention and rescuing is vitally important to our mission. So please continue to give and support this ministry. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Thank you so much. Remember, for any gift at all, please ask for a copy of Holding On When You Want to Let Go, Clinging to Hope When Life is Falling Apart. And that's what we are going to be bringing to these girls. And we will bring you the stories. You know, you give faithfully. We'll bring you the stories. We'll show you the difference it made. Let's do this. I mean, it's not something we have to do. It's this glorious privilege that God gives us to make a difference in the lives of others because of how He has redeemed us. The lines are busy. Please, please keep calling. Let's take advantage of this phenomenal matching gift and make the biggest difference we can in Jesus' name. So I'm Sheila Walsh. For all of us here at Life, God bless you. We'll see you next time.
You made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your father, the one who helped you see.
When planning your future, keep their future in mind. Contact Life Planning Services today. Tomorrow, health expert Jordan Rubin describes his journey to healing through natural remedies and God's creation and helps you find healing as well. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.